Hello, women of power and spirit. Today we are exploring the concept of time with this prescription from October 10th, 2019. It is easier to relax in life when you enjoy the fluid, reflective nature of time. Some years ago, a master martial artist and friend suggested that my life would be significantly different when I no longer thought of time as linear. As it turns out, he was right. Perhaps our scientists are really, in the scheme of time, just beginning to understand the nature of time itself, but they are increasingly exploring the concept that time and space are not linear or rigid in nature. As you know, I'm not a scientist, and I'm not going to pretend I have a reliable knowledge of science in regard to time. Understanding time and space is a highly complex subject, but I do identify with time and space as a mystic. Today, I want to present you with a few concepts that I've been picking up for you to mull over and take into your meditation, take into your holding, and see what emerges for you in the subconscious and mystical realms about your relationship to time. Today, I'm sharing some insights from author Claudia Hammond, who wrote the book Time Warped, Unlocking the Secrets of Time Perception. And this is synopsized in an article from BBC. These might seem a bit like stream of consciousness, random thoughts, because I was pulling out the ones I really thought might be helpful. And I invite you to just see what sticks for you in this short exploration of time together. She reminds us that Einstein demonstrated that time is created by things. I want to repeat that. Time is created by things, rather than the concept that time is existing and waiting for something to happen. It is being created by things. Einstein is also the one that demonstrated that time is relative, moving more slowly if an object is moving fast. He was the one that pointed out to us events don't happen in a set order. There isn't a single being significant here, there isn't a single universal now. Let's explore that a little further here. And I quote Claudia here. She says, "It is true that many events in the universe can be put into sequential order, but time is not always segmented neatly into the past, the present, and the future. Some physical equations work in either direction." So think about that for a minute. We're used to the equation working past, present, to the future. And she's saying some equations, physical equations, work the other direction, future to present to past. When memories from the past are damaged, and I bet a lot of us can relate to that, so is our ability to think about the future. Let's pause with this for a minute. If you've been traumatized in the past, we know that with trauma comes an effect on our memories. And what we may not be realizing in our lives is that those traumatized memories, those damaged memories from the past, affect our ability to think about the future. It's helpful to remember that our memories of the past are not perfect, and we each have different memories of the same event. Here's something she quotes from Aristotle that I love. Aristotle posited that memories are not archives of our lives. He described memories as tools for imagining the future. Ooh, let's do that again. Aristotle, for example, described memories not as archives of our lives, but as tools for imagining the future. In my own experience, memories of our future and our present are also tools for reimagining the past. And if we look at that again, look at what Aristotle said. I just went the other direction, right? Memories? Memories, yes, from our future and our present are also tools for reimagining the past. And as Aristotle says, our memories are not archives of our lives, but tools for imagining the future. So I'm sure by now you're starting to get this more circular kind of energy, which is much more akin to how time feels to me personally. It does not feel like a straight line anymore. It feels far more circular. The future affecting the past affecting the future, the present always a part of that story. Let's return to some insights from Carol Hammond. I'm often intrigued by for how long humans have been contemplating time. She refers to Pliny the Younger in 105, who wrote, "The happier the time, the shorter it seems." And we all know what that one feels like, don't we? Yeah, she used a weekend as an example, how you can have a really wonderful thing happening on the weekend and it just seems like the time flew by. She also suggested this. If you want to have a more lingering experience of time, keep seeking out new experiences to lay down new memories. The accumulation of memories will cause it to seem longer. So in the example of a weekend, if you want the weekend to feel longer, put together a series of new activities, and the whole weekend will give you a new series of memories, and that cumulative effect of the memories will help to make the time seem longer. So back to Einstein, it really is relative, isn't it? Even from an emotional experience or from a personal time experience. So what does all this mean for our discussion today? That it is easier to relax in life when you enjoy the fluid, reflective nature of time. In doing research about the shape of time and space, I discovered that current scientists tell us the quantum field is rippling like a wave with multiple interlayering fields affecting each other in this overall rippling effect. And as much as we work with water in our dream times and our intuition, our emotions, at our full moon ceremony, in the holding, in the womb, we've talked about that infinite womb space having a watery-like nature. And here are our scientists telling us the quantum time space has a liquid nature, it's rippling like a wave. So consider this. The more you relax and observe the nature of time, which we might extrapolate for the purposes of our playful exploration, like observing the ripple on the water. If we think about relaxing and observing this ripple effect, this nature of time, rather than attempting to control time? Would that increase your ability to respond to its fluidity in your acts of creation? And how would that fluidity affect you in your acts of creation? So here are some thoughts. Maybe, just maybe, in that observation, you become more responsive to life and maybe more intuitive. Ask yourself, if you were more responsive and intuitive to the fluidity of time, how would your life be different? Would you, for example, I'm going to play a little bit here if you want to play along with me, would your precognitive abilities get stronger? Would you find yourself making better decisions for your life, say for your health, better investments, relationship choices, career opportunities, if you were being responsive to your future awarenesses? Or the other direction, would your retrocognitions get stronger? Would you be more able to more easily access the wisdom of your ancestors, for example, or be able to reframe your past if you knew that your perceptions now can actually support your healing as a child or you as an adult in a former lifetime? We do that kind of work, don't we? Some of us do that. We go back into our childhood and allow a reframing to occur. We go back into our ancestry, our lineage, and allow reframing to occur. We bring our sensibilities from now and meet the sensibilities of us in a future timeline. Excuse me, or a past timeline, either direction actually, but a past timeline. If we're talking about retrocognition, we allow those sensibilities to come together, to choose new pathways that affect how we think and see and behave. We can do that with our own ancestral lineage, with the people of our past, our family members. So consider this. If you look at an emotional trigger and reach back in time to a difficult period in your youth and held that part of you in compassion, and held that part of you in assurances that you get through it, how do you think it might affect your emotional triggers now? Or go the other way, go into the future. If you were to feel and sense the accomplishments of your future, how might that affect your faith in yourself right now? How might you relax into your life and allow it to work for you if you became an observer of the fluid and reflective nature of time? I invite you to be with this a little bit. And if you'd like, we'll take this concept of fluidic reflective time into our holding meditation. I hope you'll join me. And I'll see you there.